Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're going to continue our study today of the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly what Jesus said about prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Now here's the words from the text of the Sermon on the Mount. It's where Jesus said, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee." Now notice verse 7 and 8. "And in praying, use not vain repetitions, as the Gentiles do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Well, what are vain repetitions? And how do vain repetitions differ from simply repetitions in prayer? Well, we'll see about that in just a moment. You may want to be turning in your Bible now to Matthew chapter 6. And while you're doing it, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in school today, we're looking or using as our guide some Sunday school notes that were prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of October the 12th, 1924. Now let's talk about vain repetitions. Now they're not the same as humble repetitions of the same prayer. You see, Jesus repeated his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me read that to you. It's found in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and sore troubled. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch with me. And he went forward a little and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to his disciples, and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them again, and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest." Well, that gets us down to verse 45. Notice three times he prayed the same prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, our Lord was the one that taught us not to use vain repetitions, and yet he repeated that prayer three times. Let's listen to Peter. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I think I'm going to begin in verse 7. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, that by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted overmuch, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted overmuch. Concerning this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he hath said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Did you notice Paul said concerning that thorn in the flesh, he prayed thrice. Now those were repetitions. They were not vain repetitions. What are vain repetitions? Well, look at the word much speaking. They think they shall be heard for much speaking. Much speaking is also condemned, and for their much speaking the Gentiles thought they would be heard. All useless words, effort at display, and flourishes of rhetoric, they're condemned. The reason given for not using vain repetitions is, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Praying to God is not to inform Him of our needs or to dictate to Him what to do. It is for our good in different ways that God has us to express ourselves to Him. Now, we have heard vain repetitions when people think, well, I'll just say so many Hail Marys, as though by saying that much speaking is going to accomplish something. I think it is the Hindus that really have this down like an art. They have a prayer wheel. It's a little thing that you can sit and spin, and it's kind of like a little top on a stick, and it might be fun to kind of spin that thing. But what they will do, they will write out a prayer on their prayer wheel. And then instead of having to say the prayer, they just spin it round and round and round and round. And every time it goes around, it's supposed to be a prayer that is sent off to wherever the Hindus send their prayers off. Well, spinning that wheel, no matter how many times you spin it, that's not what's making the difference. Those are vain repetitions. In fact, I've got it. You don't have to repeat yourself very much for repetition to be vain. I remember when I was in high school, I was playing basketball, and we were one game away from qualifying for the state finals. Now, my coach, he really wanted us to win that game, and he called us into a special meeting before the game to make sure we had gone over everything and that we were prepared to play this game to our fullest. And then he was quiet a minute and looked up at us and said, "Shall we pray?" And that kind of surprised me that he would say that, because he was pretty much of a foul-mouthed coach, and I'd never seen him express anything by way of religious reverence. But he said, "Shall we pray?" And the whole team, I mean, I'm in high school now, I want you to give me a little credit here, a little slack. Everyone said, "Yeah, well, let's pray." And I didn't say that, but I sort of participated in what they were doing. And they all put their hands together in a huddle, in a circle around the coach on his hands. And then our coach prayed just as fast as he could say it, what we call the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is." And he went through the whole thing just as fast as he could. And when he was finished, we all lifted up our hands and shouted, "Hey!" Now, that was a vain repetition. In fact, I felt even guilty about sticking my hand in there. I didn't know what was about to take place. And I was almost glad we lost the game after that. It kind of embarrassed me that I was a part of that at all. But now remember, I'm just a boy in high school, and it kind of got caught up into what was going on. But I knew in my mind, this is not a prayer. This was a vain repetition. It's as though if we could say the Lord's Prayer, somehow that is a lucky charm. And that's going to be something that God would like just to hear us say, and for our much speaking, therefore He will bless us. Now that's the way the Gentiles pray. And our Lord says, use not vain repetitions. Now let's go back to that text in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, and verse 9. He says, well, in verse 7, and in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. You know, God knows our needs. That should not discourage us in prayer. Rather, it should encourage us. He expects us to pray for the things that we need, and He knows what they are. And in fact, that's the reason sometimes prayers are not answered the way we might would like them to be answered. God knows what we really need. And we may ask for things that in our own limited knowledge and wisdom and understanding of things, we might ask for things that might be harmful for us. God knows. And He's not going to give us something that we ask for in prayer that's not good for us. He'll give us what is good for us. And so if we pray, you know, we read in the book of Romans, sometimes we know not how to pray as we ought. And that's because we don't really understand the full situation. Often that's one of the reasons we don't pray, don't know to pray as we ought. But God knows what we need. And He'll make sure if we pray, He'll make sure we get what we need as we need it. Now, along that line, I want to read something to you that I have in this publication that we send out to the community. It's House to House, Heart to Heart. And there's this little poem. Now, I don't see where it's attributed to anyone here, this poem is. But let me read this to you. It says, our prayers might need to change. And here's how it goes. I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me brains and brawn to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me danger to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted, but gained everything I needed. It's beautiful, isn't it, that God knows what we have need of before we ask Him. Now, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, that's a prayer that is often called the Lord's Prayer. Let's don't call it the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord prayed it. But we call it the Lord's Prayer because He gave it as an example of a prayer that we can pray. Now, not that we're just to repeat it as a vain repetition, as we said earlier, but that it would provide for us thoughts that we could consider to use in our own prayers. You know, this is what happens when someone leads us in prayer. They are giving a public prayer up to God, and we are to follow along and to be praying our prayers along with those thoughts. And so we can think of this as how the Lord is leading us in our prayer. I want you to notice, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount in terms of Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in the middle of this prayer, Jesus prays, thy kingdom come. And it's just another example how the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon that is given to the Jews in anticipation of the kingdom of God that would soon come to them. And in the future broadcast, we're going to be looking in more detail at this model prayer.